My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Good morning, Patriots. And today is Tuesday, March 26th in the year 2024. The Sean Holmes, a.k.a. Diddy case, is opening up more, as would be expected. And probably more stunningly, there was a major tragedy last night in Baltimore, which we're going to pray on here in a little bit, with a bridge that was hit by a tanker or a container ship and collapsed one of the big bridges in Baltimore Harbor, sending 20 people to their death into the water overnight, at least. That's just amazing footage if you haven't seen it. And we'll make sure Nikki puts it up on our social media so you can find it if you haven't already. Patriots, before we get going this morning, one thing's very clear is that we are in unstable times. And unstable times means we're also in uncertainty with finances. Make sure that you're doing all you can to protect your financial wealth. Part of that is your retirement income and how we put money aside away from this digital and fiat world. The folks at Birch Gold are here to help with that. All you have to do is text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S to the number 989898. Again, B-A-R-D-S to 989898. And with that, you'll receive a free information packet. You'll get heavily informed with that on how Birch Gold can help you set up tax-deferred IRAs in precious metals, which is really the key, and set that up. If you have an existing 401k or IRA, they can help you move that over at no cost to you and get that set up in a tax-deferred precious metals backed retirement account. So check them out. They've been great. They're great folks, and they're there to help. And that's what we need, is to ensure that your hard-earned retirement income doesn't get sucked up into this digital nonsense and lost. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898, and they'll take care of you and do that today. Okay, let's begin with this incident that has happened here in Baltimore Harbor. And I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm going to go ahead and read the story. There's a lot of here to go through. So an economic disruption, and this is from Bloomberg, an economic disruption during the U.S. East Coast is unfolding with potentially tragic human consequences after a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, sending nearly the entire roadway structure crumbling into the water. The immediate priority of the rescuers is finding people who may have been on the bridge, either working or driving across. The ship, the Singapore-registered Dolly, was operated by charter company Synergy Group and is time-chartered by Maersk, carrying Maersk's customers' logo. A secondary concern in the days ahead will be tough questions about the effect on business, commuters, holiday travelers, and the economy across the region. Well, they didn't want you to go to the eclipse, so they're finding a way to keep you home. The port of Baltimore, the biggest handler of U.S. imports and exports of cars and light trucks, looks to be out of commission indefinitely. It never ends. The resulting bottleneck could accelerate a shift of goods through West Coast ports. Another crucial question, which other ports have spare capacity to handle the ro-ro vessels that carry automobiles if Baltimore is closed for an extended period? So this is not a small issue. And I don't know if you have seen the issue or seen what happens, but one of the things that shows up in the videos up close is that as this cargo ship was approaching the bridge, the power went out not once, but went out twice on this. So here, this is from Ultra Truth. It says, SITREP, Baltimore, Maryland. The Francis Scott Key Bridge was struck by a cargo ship collapsing the bridge. My opinion is that this was a potential cyber attack. Notice the ship's lights go off before staring into the column. And this close-up footage is stunning. Again, I encourage you to take a look at this because it takes out one of the major columns, and the minute it does, the bridge goes down like a piece of twine. I mean, it's just like watching spaghetti unfold. These are all suspension bridges, and of course that's all built on tensions, and once you remove a critical tension arm on this whole thing, the whole thing unwinds. And so they wiped out, the cargo ship ran into the support pier and the whole bridge collapsed into the water. Sonar indicates that several vehicles are in the water where the temperature was about 47 degrees, Patapsco River. Two people have been rescued, but others are believed to still be in the water. The number of those missing fluctuated between 7 and 20. Vessel traffic into and out of the Port of Baltimore has been suspended. Maryland Governor Wes Moore declared a state of emergency in the state and was working to deploy federal resources. So, this is here's the first comment. I'm not diminishing the event, but I just want to show you the thinking that's out here, which is probably on point. And this is said, they needed something to grab the top of the news. Yesterday we had the following, not necessarily in this order: P. Diddy's massive sex crimes, likely CIA NATO involvement in terrorist attacks in Russia, big Trump win in New York appeal. So those events can't be discounted. And I think when we start to pivot ourselves away from the idea that these are somehow accidental issues or coincidental, I think we live foolishly in our old world. The new world questions everything. The fact is that when you watch the close-up video, the power on the ship shuts off twice. And that would remove the ability to steer the ship, and ends up careening right into that vertical tower. So, and there were big stories yesterday, and those were a couple of them. So let's just real quickly, let's just pray for those that have been lost. I think that's appropriate. Father God, I just want to lift our prayers up this morning for those that were captured or caught in the middle of a bridge collapse last night, and equally for those that are going to be suffering a lot of life changes as a result of this bridge collapse. We just lift them up in prayers and lift up this time for people to really start seeking that deeper meaning in their life and finding solace in their relationship with Christ. There's going to be anger, there's going to be frustration, there's going to be fear, hurt, pain, all these things. And this is truly the hand of the devil when it goes into these places. So, Father, we just lift up the victims of this event and their families, and we equally lift up to those that are going to be feeling the consequence of this, whether it's economically or from other issues. We just lift our prayers up and for their hearts and to be really tied in close with the heart of Jesus right now, to give them calm, to heal the wounds, and to give them clear eyes to see. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. It is an interesting moment here for a lot of people to wake up, and the disruption that this will cause will be immense. I mean, from shipping, which is a ripple effect across the country for supplies and things, this is also, again, it comes on the heels of warning people not to get together for the eclipse, which is just, and one cannot miss those three top hits of stories yesterday, which were the P. Diddy sex crimes, the likelihood of CIA, NATO, and I would add Mossad involvement in the Russian terrorist attack, and of course Trump's win yesterday on his appeal in New York, where they dropped his bond down to $175 million. Classic Trump, when asked yesterday, what are you going to use as collateral, by some snarky reporter? And he turned around and he just looked at him and he said, cash. for all the man's faults, he has got to be he comes up with some of the best one-liners ever that literally crushes these retards that are living in our journalist industry. It's just, there's not much better than that comment. I'm just cash. Well, that would be the appropriate collateral. Yes. All right. So really, like, big thing in Baltimore. It's going to change a lot of things. I want to go through some stuff here I'm going to recap some things that are with P. Diddy. By the way, this is from Ian Carroll. If you don't follow Ian Carroll, he also goes as Cancel C. Loco is what it is. Probably one of the best researchers that I have found right now on the web in doing deep dives and putting together some errant pieces. What I want to do is I want to go back, and this is a 7-minute piece, but I really want to go back and set the understanding of the P. Diddy case. He does a deep dive, and this is what we're going to play right here. He does a deep dive into what started all of this from the public exposure point of view, and this is the lawsuit that was filed against Diddy. So take a listen to this, and I think then we can get into, I think it's important to really understand the magnitude of what's going on with P. Diddy. P. Diddy is the front man and likely is going to unravel a lot of big things right now. There are a lot of truths that are coming out of this that are pointing to another Epstein-type arrangement in the rap industry. It's going to be yet another icon that falls, and this one has a lot of details with it that are coming. So let's take a listen to this report here. Hold on a second. Might help if I turn up the volume. It helps.
We just got the Jeffrey Epstein of the music and entertainment industry. The new lawsuit that just dropped against Diddy is massive, and it has photos, it has videos, it names names, and there's so much here that it's never gonna fit into a single video. So I'm gonna do a quick overview in this video, and then I'm gonna do a couple of parts breaking down all the different aspects of what's come out so far. We're talking crime scenes, we're talking photo evidence of celebrities like Cuba Gooding Jr., we're talking record label executives, we're talking hidden cameras in every room of the house, getting recordings of celebrities, executives, politicians at parties with celebrities and underage girls, with drinks being spiked, with drugs. This goes all the way back to the murder of Tupac and Biggie. We're talking about the entire rap and hip-hop industry and the whole music industry at large. But to be clear, this is just opinions and speculation. These are not statements of fact. When I show sources in the background, like the court case, you should take those for just what they are. I'm not saying that all of this is necessarily real. So, what's happened just now is that this man, Rodney Jones, who is a music producer that worked with Sean Combs, who is Diddy, he just filed this lawsuit. And he didn't just file it against Diddy, he filed against the executives at all of the companies associated and against the companies like Universal Music Group. His lawyers claim that he has secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Diddy and his staff and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. It's illegal for lawyers to make these claims if they don't have reasonable belief that this evidence is legitimate and exists. They could get disbarred for making these claims if they're not true. And some of that evidence is present in this lawsuit, like when Diddy allegedly shot a man. And then the LAPD saw that room in the photo, the bathroom with all that blood, and were on the scene for hours and no arrests were made. They went with the explanation that Diddy told his staff to give, which was it was a drive-by shooting. Diddy made it clear that his head of security, Fahim Muhammad, had the power to make people and problems disappear. This guy. And all of Diddy's staff were instructed to contact Mr. Muhammad if they were ever pulled over by the police in Miami or California. Diddy often bragged about having law enforcement under control. Although the deeper you look, the more it looks like people above him and above law enforcement had him under control. We'll go more into these cases in the detailed videos, but now the bigger picture. See, Diddy has been one of the most powerful people in the rap industry ever since the 90s when he founded Bad Boy Records. And he was only 24 when he founded it. He started his career as a non-paid intern at A&R until he was then fired in 1993 when he was 24 and founded his own label, Bad Boy Records, later that year. So how does a 24-year-old found a massive record label on his own? Well, when you dig further, you realize it wasn't on his own. It was with the help of Clive Davis, his mentor. And the further into it all you dig, you realize that Clive Davis came out as gay later on, and there's a lot of rumors that him and Diddy were in a relationship throughout this time. This is gonna come up over and over and over, just by chance. Clive Davis has been running significant portions of the music industry since our parents were kids listening to music, responsible for artists like Aretha Franklin, Alicia Keys, The Grateful Dead, then later Usher, Outkast, Pink. But back in the 60s and 70s, like Janis Joplin, Santana, Aerosmith, Pink Floyd, like, come on, read it. Jones specifically claims that they were trying to groom him to do gay stuff, which has long been the talk of the town in the rap industry by people that aren't with it. Diddy allegedly showed him a tape from a secret recording that he just happened to have of Jones's idol having gay sex with some white guy. And then Diddy apparently told Jones that he had engaged in gay sex with this redacted rapper and that redacted rapper and his idol, Stevie J. And apparently he also promised to make sure that Jones would win Producer of the Year at the Grammys if he did gay stuff on camera. Although, to be clear, he wasn't explicitly saying on camera, but Mr. Jones discovered that Diddy had hidden cameras in every room of his home. I'm gonna guess that Diddy didn't learn how to wire a whole house with cameras on his own. Kanye has accused Diddy of being a fed many times. Diddy's also been accused of ordering the hit on Tupac many times. And when Diddy was asked about this on a podcast, this was his response.
We don't talk about things that are nonsense. We don't even entertain nonsense, my brother. So we're not even gonna even go there, with all due respect, but I appreciate you as a journalist asking.
When you start digging into allegations of the CIA, the FBI, the Mossad having tentacles in the music industry, you wind up at total rumors like this. Former CIA agent admits agency created gangster rap to fill private prisons by glamorizing criminality. Claims like famous hip-hop lyrics of the legendary hip-hop outfit NWA were even scripted by a team of psychologists and war propagandists inside the CIA, according to this former agent. Obviously, these are just totally rumors and conspiracy theories, no truth to this whatsoever. But it leads you to people like Lior Cohen, who might be the most influential person in the last 100 years of music, because he ran Def Jam and made Jay-Z who he is, including Redman, Method Man, DMX, Ja Rule, Ludacris. But it doesn't stop with rap music. We got Bon Jovi, Mariah Carey, Shania Twain, Elvis Costello, Ashanti, Nickelback, Slipknot, Sum 41, The Killers, Slayer. But then we've also got his protege, Julie Greenwald, that got elevated through this merger that he brokered and managed the Black Keys, Bruno Mars, Death Cab for Cutie, Jason Mraz, Kid Rock, Lupe Fiasco, Wiz Khalifa. That would be this Julie Greenwald. And then we've got Lucian Grange, the CEO of Universal Music Group. He's the one that is directly implicated and named in this lawsuit. It is alleged that he attended these parties with underage girls and with sex workers, and he knew that they were spiking drinks, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're talking about Diddy, you got to also talk about Justin Bieber, who was managed by Scooter Braun, along with Kanye West, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, et cetera. Scooter Braun is a really big player in the modern music industry. We also got Psy, Carly Rae Morris, Martin Garrix, Kanye West, Black Eyed Peas, David Guetta, Lil Dicky. So you might not remember, but back in the 90s, Tupac and Biggie were both coming up, and they were both talking about leaving their records that we've shown the people involved in those records already and starting their own. And Tupac was starting to speak out a little bit maybe about the state, the nature of the industry. Diddy was close in the middle of that, and there's a lot of rumors that he ordered the hit on Tupac. Diddy sort of rose to power on the power vacuum of Tupac and Biggie both leaving the scene. And he has been manipulating and running a huge portion of the industry from the inside ever since. And this court case directly alleges with lots of evidence that he has been running a sexual blackmail scheme that entire time, promoting artists that would engage in the sexual blackmail scheme and then do their bidding there, because there's not just him acting alone, and pushing out, ostracizing, blacklisting, attacking artists that wouldn't. So maybe you should go back and listen to some of Kanye's interviews and see if he sounds quite so crazy after all.
So this is something I think is worth a question asking. And I think we all come to the same conclusion. But in a country now that has legalized gay marriage and supposedly mainstreamed gay sex and everything else, I think the first question is, why was that so important to do? And we're starting to get to the core of why it was so important to do, because somehow, and it may be purely coincidence, and maybe I'm drawing a wrong conclusion here, but it sure seems to be that every time we find a pedophile, and every single time we get into Hollywood, and every single time we find out what the cost is for people to go to get into power, there, if it's men, it always has to do with gay sex. Just saying. And I'm sure that may be just maybe I'm having a big bias here. And that's, because we don't want to have a bias. But I mean, my point is, it's pretty obvious that there's a correlation here. And we start to look at that entire culture as one that's been engineered and used and weaponized ultimately with one end goal: to destroy the family and to go after the kids. That link can be built. There is no question about that. So now that you kind of get the framework of Diddy, you start to understand the magnitude of what's at stake here, because this case is a rabbit hole, and it's a massive one. This comes up this morning from Dom Luker, and it says exclusive, and I'm going to play it here in a second. Here is footage I'm resurfacing of Diddy on April 12th, 2020, where he introduced his kids on Instagram, his alleged adopted young white daughter, Ava Baroni, made an appearance. Combs made it sound like she had poor parents, maybe with issues, living on the streets, and he helped them and then offered to adopt her. I have been unable to find any additional information on her. And then he adds, if you don't think this is about children, you haven't been paying attention. The president is on his way back. There are things that might be revealed and nobody is prepared for. So take a listen to this just brief piece here.
My name's Ava. I'm a Scorpio.
No. What's your last name?
Oh, Ava Combs.
What's your other last name?
Ava Baroni.
Ava Baroni Combs? Yes, it was breaking news. Diddy adopted a white child. I want you to tell them the story about how I adopted you. But you still have beautiful parents that, but you're my child also. But please tell the story.
So, I was on the streets, and then Papa Coombs decided that he would like to be a caring man. So then he saw me and decided to pick me up and said to come inside and play with his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's like a little bit like borderline suspect. I don't want nobody here. We want to get it clear. I adopted you like Madonna adopted kids and everybody else adopted kids, Charlize Theron, everybody's ever adopted Sandra Bullock. I adopted you because I felt that you could, you know, enjoy also having a black parent to take care of you and help you out. So, just clarify, because it's crazy out here online. So play with the kids, and I got permission from your mother, and say all of that, just to make it, because it's crazy out here.
Well, I met Jesse and Delilah when I was 6 months old.
6 months.
And
six months.
Basically, sisters,
four sisters.
Of us. So,
6 months is cool.
I always come over.
Yes. And it's Ava Brioni Combs. Come on.
Let's go.
I'm going to say we can't draw a conclusion from that. But in learning what we know and what we and about him now and seeing what we are learning about him, I should say, and in understanding how these elites work, the problem is that they like to show off their trophies. And if you listen carefully to what that narrative was saying, that a black man was adopting and helping a white child, you're starting to see the construction of the narrative that's just in our face this whole time now, that we need to, the white people are lesser. This has been a strategically engineered narrative using every aspect in the field, trying to elevate up the black culture as superior to the white culture. And this is not a race issue. This is literally what they're trying to do to pit white against black, which is ridiculous because we're all one body. But the problem is, and in doing these sorts of things, there is, and then feeding that with a man who's, Diddy's a poser. Let's be clear about it. He wasn't some street gangster dude. He was from what we understand, he came from a prep school, was already having gay tendencies, and they brought him in and engineered an entire image around him. And with that, he then made his compromises to get to that level of power, which ended up being having sex with another man. That's a likely conclusion. I'll give it to you my opinion, but that's what the evidence is pointing towards. So we're seeing, again, with scripts and with music lyrics that are being engineered by war propagandists that are coming out of the bowels of the CIA and Mossad, this whole thing was engineered with a kind of a dual hit on society to raise up the violent side of black culture, to particularly inner city and gangs, which would lead to more people put in jail, breaking more families and separating more fathers from the family, a war on black culture, using him as an instrument, as he also became the power of control of other rappers, using an Epstein model to blackmail them in both gay sex, which they wouldn't want to be seen as, and in blackmailing them in terms of using children as part of the lever. Now, it's interesting in that piece by Ian Carroll, earlier, he made the comment that there's been rumor that he has been a Fed, but not Fed in a good way, meaning he's been an agent to help build the Epstein model to continue to blackmail people. Is that true? We don't know. But it is interesting that his entire house was wired with cameras and they were secretly placed so people didn't know they were there. This is a huge breaking event in the sense of unmasking the level of this, and it's very of this corruption of children and trafficking. Again, it's all conspiratorial, I'm sure. We've been saying that child sex trafficking has been around. I've been talking about it since easily 2012. If you take the time I was in Afghanistan, it was evident in our face. But I understand these are, for those that are new to this idea, this is probably sounds very conspiratorial, and that you're seeing me now with a tin hat. All I'll say is do your research and be prepared to have your world broken, because the fact is we are dealing with something massive here. Every time we touch Hollywood, every time we peel back that layer in Hollywood, every single time we end up at the same place. And that same place over and over and over is a place that deals with child sex trafficking. It's stunning. It's unprecedented. And it's one of these things that you just have to ask yourself, when does it ever stop? And unfortunately, I'm not sure that it ever does, because the issues at hand here is that power and money will breaks morals to such a degree that we're literally, people will do anything for this. Now, I'm going to play this piece. I have already played it. I'm going to play it again. It just seems very appropriate this morning to be able to listen now to, as all of this is happening in parallel, we're also hearing the woes coming out of Hollywood, and keeping in mind that most of these people, in one way or another, are familiar or are aware but choose to ignore the realities of what's going on in Hollywood.
The entertainment industry is seriously broken. I asked a few of my friends and colleagues to describe what they're going through, and I think you should take a listen.
My name is Matt Hoban. I'm a former executive producer. So many of my mentors and my friends and collaborators are working less, to the point where they're not working at all. We're just people trying to make a living, and it's getting really hard to do that.
I'm Jen. I am a former editor. I am definitely financially struggling. You may lose my house, and it's really scary, so I really need help and a job and just some support. So thank you.
I'm Marcia, producer, casting director. The last show I worked on was Generation Gap. We're just trying to keep our kids fed at this point. Keep our house, keep our cars, get food on the table.
My name is Wilfredo Hernandez. I used to be a television editor, and I'm being forced to move out of my house because I'm not going to be able to afford the mortgage anymore. So let's try and make this very aware that we're all going through this to see if we could bring some change.
My name is Steve Mellon. I'm a reality television editor, worked on shows like The Amazing Race and Undercover Boss. There just isn't any work out there. My wife, Stephanie, has not worked as a post-production supervisor. She's working, doing Instacart runs, trying to just keep her sanity and bring some extra money in. Half of my Rolodex, they're looking for work. They're scared. They could use some help and support.
My name is Erin. I'm an SVP of development in Unscripted. I've been in the business for 22 years. I was laid off. I'm a single mother with three kids, and the situation really stinks.
Hi, I'm BK. I'm an editor. Last year, I was brought in to revamp a signature element of one of Netflix's most popular shows. I haven't worked since, and now my family and I are living on credit.
Hi, my name is Anna. I most recently worked as a TV post-producer. My insurance company is specifically targeting MPI members and taking a very long time to authorize medical procedures in a timely manner.
My name is Sasha, and I'm a former VP of production, and I have officially been out of work for 11 months. I've applied at over 200 job postings and have not gotten a single job.
The first industry to embrace AI was Hollywood. And it's also the industry that was the most vocal about taking the vax, equally most vocal about DEI, and also developing the concept that the LGBT culture was better than everybody else, in particular that the white male was the greatest threat to humanity. So I would just say this is probably an Esther moment. Boomerang effects really, really hurt when they hit you. And I want to give you an additional update on the Baltimore thing, and this goes back to something very important. Putin has identified that in a speech yesterday that I played last night, he was identified that they have pretty much isolated or targeted the fact that this attack on Russia was, in fact, run by CIA links and likely NATO links, and he vowed to get revenge for this. Now, I say this because I'm not pointing my finger at anybody in particular without evidence, but it's pretty evident when you watch that cargo and container ship that last night in Baltimore, there are two points when the power goes out completely on the ship, making it lose steering. Why this is important is because of the significance of this bridge that has been removed. And this is from Matt Bracken on X. It says, this is a major infrastructure hit. The port of Baltimore is the major port serving Baltimore and Washington, D.C. All of the shipping north of the bridge is now trapped in place. No other shipping can get in. The tunnel shown, which is in this particular map has a height and hazardous cargo restrictions, it can't take the heavy trucking traffic that used the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is took years to build back in the 70s. So this bridge is gone. It's not like it's broken, damaged, can be easily repaired. This entire bridge was collapsed. And this is, again, this realization that we are literally at war. This is a nation that is at war, and we're at war in part because of the fact that we have a derelict government that decided to wage war on our behalf for the rest of the world. And we can be very content in knowing that. And it's interesting that Francis Scott Key, if you don't know, was an American lawyer and author and amateur poet from Maryland, best known for the author of the text of the U.S. national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Just highlighting that for you so that you know. So when we look at the impact across the United States, this is another post from John Leslie, and it states there's 12% of the U.S. roll on and off tonnage that goes through Baltimore at peak time for farmers to get new equipment. Isn't this interesting? Not good for food pricing. So again, we're still seeing we're seeing really where we're going here. And as we see this war of truth raising up, the Diddy case, the Russian realization that they were probably hit by CIA, NATO, and Mossad all at once, which I think is just one big happy family of criminals. And then we look at the impact of Trump's win yesterday in New York. Now we have this. There's really kind of two narratives that start to come to play. Was this done by the deep state to distract, or was this a counterattack? And these are questions to ask, not conclusions. Was this potentially a counterattack by Russia to paralyze a Northeast corridor, and in particular, the isolation of D.C.? Putin is very clear where this threat is coming from, and he understands very clearly the vulnerabilities. When you're attacking a nation of any kind or any sort of network, the one thing you want to identify are critical vulnerabilities. And in the critical vulnerability assessment or vulnerability assessments, what you're looking for are the small things. And I've talked about this before, and this is probably one of the most masterful things that Special Operations, in particular Special Forces, does, is one of the most masterful things is to find the small thing that will take down an entire system. So the example I've used before is if you're trying to shut down a dam, you don't blow up the dam. You find the single part that might take like 6 months to it's a custom piece that might take 6 months to even replace, let alone find, and you destroy that one little part, and the entire system shuts down and causes massive systemic failure. That would be particularly enhanced when you deal with cyber attacks. If you go to what the U.S. did with the Iranian centrifuges, which was a cyber attack years ago, they embedded a code that caused these centrifuges in their nuclear development program to overspin and burn out. Once those centrifuges were damaged, they couldn't replace them for upwards of a year. So this is one of these cases that this bridge is now out. It has affected massive things across the United States. There's no question about that. The impact of this hasn't even been realized yet. And it will also affect massive flows of traffic in the Northeast. Shipping costs go up. Traffic is going to have to be massively rerouted far up north. It's going to isolate things in D.C. and in that area. It's going to limit huge cargo traffic. It has container ships locked in port, which is massive costs because they have to remove the bridge before they can get out. That rescue effort hasn't even begun yet. And it's now, as we learn, is affecting a lot of the new farm equipment. So if you're in the interest of building tractors, you might want to get started welding pretty quick. It seems like we have an opportunity that's just awakened to us all. I swear. Look at everything as an opportunity, and I think we'll be good. So hang on just a second here. Let me play this piece for you here that I think kind of sums up everything.
Well, hang on a second. Hey, I just want to remind you that your government did more to stop the flow of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine than it ever did for fentanyl. Yeah, I'm back. So
I don't think there's much to say to that other than truth. Truth is truth on that part. So we do have a corrupt government that is literally out of control and is continuing to infect our country with its ideologies of war and hatred towards its people. That doesn't just limit itself, by the way, to the infiltration in our government. We've talked many times about the problem of the pulpit and the willingness to see a genuinely broken pulpit. I want you to hear this talk, 1 minute, 18 seconds from, this is a pastor who's in a church. I want you to listen to this. This is stunning.
My name is Pastor L. I use pronouns like she or they. I'm a campus minister in Chicago for a joint Lutheran Episcopal campus ministry downtown on the Loop, where I also pastor to a group of unhoused folks. Before we get started, I wanted to just name something, too, from the reading from Corinthians. You might have noticed that we didn't read one part out loud, and that's because it's yikes. So putting that reading in original context, Paul himself was a Jewish man, right? And so there were sort of inter-Jewish conversations and disagreements about the role of Jesus and what that means. But really, in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul's being kind of a jerk, both about Jewish people and about the Greeks. And even more important than his original intent is the way that verses like that have been used throughout the ages to harm our Jewish siblings. And so we wanted to just sort of name that right out, even before we got started with anything else, and to kind of put that before us as something, particularly those of us gathered here who are Christians, the way that we can look at the way our traditions, the way that our scriptures have been used to harm our siblings, and to be accountable for that.
We genuinely have never needed a letter to the American church more than we do right now. Paul was being kind of a jerk. What?
My name is...
Yeah. This is the new church. I want to be clear about this. And so for anybody that ever wonders and questions why I'm literally, when I say that, I'm going to be very clear what I'm going to say, because I'm not mincing words, nor am I exaggerating. So please hear me. I have spent 5 years coming up this May on this platform. From day one, God has lit me up, and I mean exactly the words I just said, lit me up to use a sword of razor edge against the pulpit. And I have had a ton of pushback over the time that sword needs to be dulled a bit to be more receptive to the pulpit. My answer is never until God changes that direction for me. This is the corruption that has gotten into the pulpit, and the fact that the churches aren't screaming from the top of their lungs about this is a reflection of how deeply corrupted the pulpit is. The pulpit has become weak in our nation, and weakness is cowardice, and cowardice is despised by God. Cowardice is despised by God. If people don't have the courage to stand up and vocally call out the pulpit, and I mean that includes people in the pulpit, or I mean in the pews, then we're missing something massive. It's what God needs us to do. We are, the congregation defines and has a say in what that message comes out of the pulpit. We don't worship the pulpit. And unfortunately, what has happened is the pastors have become worshiped, and they become the keepers and protectors of their version of the word, which, again, our relationship with God is framed on the Bible. Our relationship with God is individual and personal. And at the same time, every pastor standing there needs to encourage that and lift us and work us together, so we are all in the body of Christ coming together to seek that deep and personal, intimate relationship with Christ. This is garbage. This woman's straight up heretic. And I'll tell you right now, the fact that we don't have 100 different churches out here screaming from the top of their lungs at this tells you where we are at, and anything like this. So this is the problem that we have in the community, is there's a hesitation within pastors to vocally call out people. Wrong is wrong in this case. And it has to be openly condemned. And the first step towards that, I would hope, would be that those closest to this person would address those errors face to face. We don't have an access to her, and I'm leaving her name out, but the fact that we don't have it, to be honest with you, other than she calls herself L, whatever that is. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. We need to be engaging this and solving this problem, but we're not. And it's just, it's incredible how bad this has become, and it's just a deep, sick statement towards the level of corruption in our pulpit across this nation. Disgusting to me. and infuriating to me because our country was started at the pulpit. The pulpit was the foundation of this nation, that and printing, by the way. Those two aspects of our nation, we would not be who we are today had it not been for the pulpit and the printing press. And those two things together rose up the consciousness of a nation to stand up to tyranny. But we're not doing that. So, again, we need to literally be looking at this from a very intense optic of where we need to be in terms of our relationship with Christ. So keep our prayers up, but also keep our intensity up for God. I have another report here I'm going to read, and just bear with me. I just got this. I want to go through this. It goes back to Baltimore. And it says here, this is from Rinzler, which is R.INZLER on X. For when your comments are invaded by people who are trying to vanish the possibility of a hack even being feasible from potential causes, anyone saying the Key Bridge being hit in Baltimore cannot be an attack knows nothing about the vulnerabilities of cargo ships, or they are complicit in a cover-up, knowingly or unknowingly. I love posts like this. This is absolutely true. When people, and I'm just going to state this because this tends to be exactly what those asleep tend to do. It goes right back to that whole theory around the Matrix, that those in the Matrix will defend the Matrix even in the most desperate moments. There is always an unwillingness to accept that which is uncomfortable. So let me continue here. It says, ships often use operating technologies that respond to the NMEA 0183 in unencrypted messages, which can control anything from GPS data to engine revs and rudder control. If the lights on the ship went out, it rammed full speed. They may have been trying to reset the power and regain control. This could have also just be evidence of the hackers taking control of even the lighting systems, impeding the crew's response to stop the ship by flashing lights. This threat profile has been known since at least 2014, 2018, and 2022, since there are free white papers out there in those times alone, not to mention what cleared groups get to see. AIS data shows it sped up and changed course materially to hit the bridge support. And then he has a map, and it says purple line is the original heading and before the bridge was hit. I'll have this posted by Nikki so you can find it, these links. Patriots, this is a real issue here. Our country's at war. And again, I just want to point back to the fact that there was an attack made on Russian people and citizens in Moscow, that Putin said yesterday in his speech that they basically have identified it to be CIA, NATO, and he's inferred Mossad because of the reference to ISIS, and that's Mossad's name that they use in public, which is Israeli Security Intelligence Service. So I'm just pointing that out, and I don't think there's any mistake that what Putin showed on allowed to be shown, and I should say the Putin leadership, not just Putin himself, allowed to be shown in terms of torture yesterday, was to send a very broad message to what we would call the global deep state, the transnational, transgenerational cabal of criminals that are there, to let them know that every one of them will suffer that or worse as pain as it comes along. I have no doubt that was why that message was sent. And that means that every operative working in Russia, on the fringe of Russia, in Kiev, or for that matter, around the world, is now subject to something that they have probably never conceived of, that they've caught, there will be no mercy. And here's the other part of that. As long as Russia leads that fight, the world will give them no mercy. This is an interesting time we're in. Definitely some turning of tides. And leading up into the April 8th event, which is the eclipse, there's no place I'd rather be than in the middle of total darkness. So last thing before we go to prayer, remember to sign up and register if you can for the eclipse event that we have. Just go to bardsfest.com. We'd love to have you there, want you there, as many people there. This event's going to be a revival. Obviously, we're taking full advantage of the moment of this darkness to bring to light. I think it's going to be incredible, exciting to have everybody there. We'll talk more about that as the week goes along. So, Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning for the time that we have and always this reflection that we have on our responsibilities and our accountability. Father, one of the greatest things that we have in this moment in time is to literally be in the Word and to speak that of truths and not try to persuade or lead people to that place of false prophets. We've been warned that we are in a time where false prophets will arise. We are also warned that cowardice in so many ways will be the first ones to fall into the lake of fire. This is a point in time where the call is upon people's heart to speak truth. The call is on the people's heart to step up and to use a sharp sword, to literally cut down that which is of lie and raise up that which is of truth, and to speak that truly from the profound place of love that Jesus shows us to be. Love is truly the bridge that breaks down this entire system, especially as we start to see things collapse and as evil rises. The corrupted heart is one that is saved through the power of love and forgiveness in Christ. So, Father, we just pray that the continued strength in the warrior heart of Christ will evolve and rise within this community and many others, that we touch those out here to lift them up in such a time as this, to truly be vocal, to speak out, to lean in, to stand up against this enemy and speak the power and truth of Jesus in every opportunity we have. Guide us and direct us in all we do. Protect us in this fight as we step in as warriors of Christ. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Step into that place. That's the one thing I'm going to tell you every morning. I truly mean this. I just reflect on that unbelievable position which we are in a place where we literally have an opportunity in our lives to choose to be in this fight with Jesus. Profound concept, profound place, one that is of rare moment in human history of the magnitude in which we're in. So choose the fight is what I would say. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, in God we trust. We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.